Now, there's a really interesting scientific piece of research out today. It's been done at Goldsmiths University. And Professor Chris French, I'm so pleased you're here. How are you, Chris?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you. You're head of Anomalistic Psychology Research Unit at Goldsmiths.
That's right.
How lovely. Looking at the spooky and the unusual. Now, tell me about what you did with two people who claimed they were psychic.
Basically, it was quite a simple kind of a test. I mean, what psychics are typically claiming is that they can tell people things about themselves that they couldn't know other than by using their amazing psychic powers that they sincerely believe that they have in many cases. They work in different ways. Some people say they're getting the information from the spirit world. Others say they're just picking up on kind of energies and what have you. But that didn't really matter too much to us how they were doing it. We wanted to know whether they really could do it. So what we did, we had five volunteer sitters and we had two psychics taking part in the test. What we did was to get the psychics to do readings for the five volunteer sitters. But we wanted to make sure that they couldn't be just picking up on information on the basis of appearance or reactions to what was said and so on and so forth.
So blind, in effect.
They were blind.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. So the sitters sat behind a screen. There was no communication whatsoever between the sitters and the psychics, and the psychics just wrote down their readings. We then invited all of our sitters back, and the sitters had to look at all of the five readings that had been done for all of the sitters, not knowing which one was for them. So there were two sets of five, one from each psychic, and they had to rate the accuracy and choose the one that they thought had been done for them. Now, if the psychics really could do what they claim to be able to do, there ought to have been, for each sitter, one of those readings that stood out as having lots of personally relevant and accurate information. What we actually found was that, I mean, to have passed the test, we said that for either psychic, all of the sitters had to choose the correct reading. Now, in actual fact, one of our psychics got a score of 1 out of 5, and I'm afraid the other one got a score of 0 out of 5. Mm. So, no evidence there that any kind of psychic ability was really being used.
The work that you do, and there are units with other individuals trying to prove this stuff one way or the other, that I think it's really important to note that you are all highly qualified scientists who are measuring responses and results in a technical way. You're not wandering around haunted houses necessarily with a tape recorder. These are laboratory conditions what has always interested me, because I'm aware of that, is that nobody ever seems to be able to replicate what they claim, and that to actually prove there is an entity from the spirit world or someone who's psychic and that it's never been proved. Am I right, Chris? Is there any research that makes you think, hang on a minute?
Well, again, there are kind of two strands, if you like, the research that we do. On the one hand, there's the kind of thing that we were talking about just, where we actually directly test paranormal claims. But I have to say that personally, I am a skeptic. I don't believe that these paranormal claims are true.
Yeah.
And so as a psychologist, I'm also very interested in, well, if they're not true, why do so many people believe in this stuff? And how do we explain the weird kinds of experiences that people genuinely do have? So, you know, there's two strands to our research, and a lot of the stuff that we do, which I find really interesting and exciting, is trying to come up with psychological explanations and test those explanations, assuming that there isn't anything paranormal going on. So we're interested in things like hallucinatory experiences, memory distortion, you know, the reliability of eyewitness testimony, all that kind of stuff. But with respect to your particular question, then I think it would very much depend on who you ask. There are lots of parapsychologists out there who would give their honest opinion and say that as far as they're concerned, there is strong evidence to support the reality of paranormal claims. Now, I have to say, I don't find the evidence that they find convincing as they do. You know, there are always with these cases, there's room for doubt. And I mean, one thing we have to bear in mind, of course, is there's always the possibility of deliberate hoaxes. You know, there is a history within parapsychology, as occurs in other sciences, of people sometimes just actually making stuff up, whether it actually be the scientists themselves or in the case of parapsychology, some of the people they are testing, if they can be outwitted, you know, if you've got somebody who's actually a fraud, but they can fool a scientist that they really do have some kind of paranormal power, that's great publicity for them. So you really have to be on your toes with this stuff.
So just finally, you have never, in all of your work, and you've been looking at this field, and you are sceptical, I absolutely appreciate that, there has never been anything that's made you think, hang on.
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, there have been one or two instances. Sometimes in kind of fairly uncontrolled situations where there's always that room for...
Can you give me an example, then?
Well, yeah, I can give you a couple of examples. Well, I'll give you just one, because you've probably not got a lot of time. I mean, quite often, because I'm a kind of rent-a-skeptic, you know, you name it, I'll doubt it, I end up taking part in TV programmes and stuff. And there have been one or two of those where the claim that was being made, it's very difficult to kind of put figures on this and say, oh, what's the probability that it was just something that occurred by chance? But once or twice, there have been things in those programs where I thought, I wonder. Just to give you one example, there really aren't very many. Most of the time, I don't find them at all baffling, these cases. There was a program I took part in a few years back called The Boy Who Lived Before, about a possible reincarnation case.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
I thought it was an intriguing case.
Very.
And I don't know to this day whether we were dealing with a case of false memories. I think we probably were, but we might not have been.
It was a very young
case. Child
claiming stuff
from
a family a long way from where he'd been born and brought up.
That's right. And his mum was a very down-to-earth Glaswegian housewife. She wasn't making stuff up. She just didn't know what was going on.
No, it was intriguing.
It was a really interesting case.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
And you.
Professor Chris French, who's head of the Anomalistic Psychology Research Unit at Goldsmiths University.